John 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can any good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here's a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending and descending on the Son of Man." To so far this evening. After Tanya and I got engaged many, many, many years ago. No, it just feels like the other day. It really does. We kind of made a list of the things that we had to do before that big day. And we had about 6 months before we were going to get married, and so the list was pretty long and pretty urgent, some of the things. And I often looked at that list and felt quite daunted at the task that was before us. Short space of time, get all this done and get it done well so that we could rejoice and have a great day. There was one item on that list, though, that wasn't daunting to me. An item that I actually looked forward to doing, and that was handing out the invitations to our special day. Asking people to come and see and be there on that special day that we would be joined together. And there was a difficult part of trying to decide who would be invited and who wouldn't, but actually giving the invitations out to people was a great joy to me. I think it was a great joy because I knew that people normally like getting invites, don't they? Generally, we could say that people like to be invited to events and to things like that. And so it was a great joy for me to invite people, knowing that they generally would be well receptive of the invite. I want you to just bear that in mind as we look at our passage this evening. It's not a daunting task to invite people, because people generally like invitations. Our passage this evening is just after Jesus has been baptized by John in the River Jordan near Bethany in Judea. And we know this to be the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus Christ here on this earth. We also know that at this time, Jesus is, I would say, beginning to build his church. He is gathering 12 men to be his followers, to be his disciples, to be the pillars of the church. By the time we come to verse 43 of chapter 1 of John's Gospel, Jesus has already called Andrew, his brother Peter, and one other disciple, who I believe was the author of this book, John, to follow him, to be a part of his ministry, to invest in their lives what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The next day we read that Jesus set out for Galilee, which was north of where he was in Judea. And on the way he found Philip, and he called Philip to be a follower of his. We're not given much detail as to how Jesus persuaded Philip to be his follower, but we can read into verse 45 and kind of come up with probably what took place as Jesus showed Philip from the scriptures who he was and how he was the one that God had promised, the one that they had hoped for, the Messiah, the Savior sent from God. However, what we do see clearly is that Jesus is the one who found Philip. And when Jesus found Philip, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. This truth of Jesus finding people and then making them and turning them into his followers is a truth that is taught often in Scripture. Jesus is said often to be the good shepherd, the one who, when one of his sheep is lost, has wandered off. That is in reference to us who live in rebellion towards God. We are lost to God because of our rebellion towards him. This good shepherd will leave the other sheep and go and find this lost sheep in order to save it from danger. The Bible also talks about us who do not believe in Jesus yet, to be like dead people to the life God wants of us. Dead people can't respond. Dead people can't come and suddenly be alive again. They are dead. And so we're very dependent on Jesus to give us life, to be able to have life, to respond to the life God wants us to live. This is represented in the many miracles that Jesus did in raising the dead to new life. Jesus was the one who had the power and the authority to call people to a new life. We also read in Paul's ministry how one day he found himself talking to some ladies at the riverside outside the village of Philippi. And he was speaking to one lady in particular, Lydia. And we read in Acts how God opened her heart before she could be able to respond to what Paul was sharing with her about following Jesus Christ. And so this truth that the church, the followers of Jesus Christ, are very much dependent on Jesus working in their hearts, making us found or making us alive to the things God desires for us is very true and very, very clear in Scripture. But if that's the case, friends, if that's the case, then what are we doing as followers of Jesus trying to impact our community in order that we might also make followers of Jesus Christ? Why do we put so much effort into telling people about Jesus? Why the ATEP Community Center? Why ATEP Coffee Corner? Why do missions? Why do we do youth on a Friday night? Why do we have a what to wear fashion show here at the church for the ladies? Why bring our friends and family who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ to our Sunday services? Why do we try and make our services relevant to our day and age and the generation which comprises of it? Why speak to them about the good news of Jesus? Why should we live differently in the world in order to show people the love that Jesus has for them? Why? I mean, after all, if Jesus is the one that is responsible for changing hearts and for making dead people alive again to God, for rescuing lost sheep, then where do we fit into it? Well, let me tell you why. Because on the one hand, yes, Jesus is the one who ultimately finds those who are lost. Yes, Jesus is ultimately the one who gives life to those who are dead in terms of their relationship with God. Yet on the other hand, we who are lost and dead have a responsibility to find Jesus. We have a responsibility to find Jesus. We have to discover for ourselves that Jesus is who he says he is for us. We have to believe he is the one whom he claims to be. And so we have to find Jesus to be what God has said in his word he is. I guess that's why in verse 45, after Philip was found by Jesus and Jesus was found by Philip, Philip says to Nathanael, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You see, Philip expressed to Nathanael Not that Jesus had found him, but that he had discovered for himself Jesus to be the one whom he claimed to be. And so in another sense, we have to find Jesus. And so that's why when Nathanael voices his skepticism and questions what Philip has found by saying, well, simply, what good can come out of Nazareth? Philip invites Nathanael to come and see for himself, to come and find Jesus himself. Nathanael, come and find for yourself that Jesus is the one whom he claims to be, that Jesus is the one that the Word of God is speaking about. He is the promised and hoped for Savior of the world. In those moments, Philip offers Nathanael an invitation, an incredible invitation. An invitation to come and see for himself that Jesus is the Son of God. An invitation to come and see that Jesus is the Savior from God's fair punishment upon us because of our sin and rebellion towards God. An invitation to come and see that Jesus, being God, does understand and sympathize with us when we hurt and we struggle and we face desperate times in this world in which we live in. He is the one that carries our burdens. An invitation to come and see that Jesus is the one in whom the abundant life we are all so desperately seeking is found in. An invitation to come see that Jesus desires not only that we experience that abundant life here on this earth, but for all eternity. An incredible invitation Philip extended to Nathanael here on this occasion. And we read in verse 47 that when Nathanael approaches Jesus with all these questions, before he has a chance to even address Jesus to give answers to these questions, Jesus finds Nathanael. Jesus finds Nathanael when Nathanael is on his way to find Jesus. And Jesus says to Nathanael, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." Jesus doesn't mean that Nathanael was this perfect person. But what he does mean is that Nathanael lived with a heart that trusted and believed in God. Paul in Romans 2 tells us that true Israelites are those that don't outwardly live like they belong to God, where their heart is far from him, but ones who have a heart that belong to God and allow their actions and their behavior to stem from this heart that has faith in God. Nathanael was one of these men, one of these persons who had a deep relationship with God because he trusted and believed in God. Nathanael was a man who lived for God because of his relationship with God, not because he wanted a relationship with God. Well, that statement that Jesus said to Nathanael absolutely floored Nathanael. And he responds to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "How do you know that? How do you know me like that?" How did Jesus know what goes on in the recesses of Nathanael's heart? Only God knows the ins and outs of what goes on in our hearts. Well, Jesus responds to Nathanael and says in verse 48, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip came to call you." Now, if we take that response literally as we read it, Jesus is showing Nathanael that he is God because he knows all things. He knew that Nathanael was sitting under a physical fig tree before Philip came to call him. And if that was the case, then Nathanael would know that Jesus knew what's in his heart because he knows all things. However, remember that Nathanael has asked Jesus how he knows that Jesus knows his heart. And so surely Jesus' response has to address that question. And so we need to take what Jesus says about him sitting under a fig tree as symbolizing something Jesus knows about Nathanael's heart. Because Nathanael is a true Israelite and a good Jew who loves God and lives according to God's word, Nathanael would know the prophets of God and what they shared and spoke about in the scriptures. The prophets usually made reference to a fig tree when they were describing a position of peace and security, of love and dependency in their relationship with God. For example, the prophet Habakkuk said, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, because of those circumstances, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will take joy in the God of my salvation." My relationship with God is what keeps me going. Habakkuk makes reference to the fig tree there. And so Jesus was describing Nathanael's heart condition as one who belonged to God. One who was in a relationship with God that brought great peace and great security to his life. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situations that he was facing. And when Nathanael heard this and saw that Jesus truly had the knowledge of the things only God could have, he responds by believing Jesus to be the one he claims to be. And he says, "Rabbi, you truly are the Son of God. You truly are the King of Israel." What a confession of faith in Jesus. Nathanael, on invitation, had come and seen for himself Jesus to be whom he claimed to be. Jesus says to Nathanael, "You believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree. Nathanael, you'll see greater things than these." In that moment, Jesus promises Nathanael that there'll be greater evidences of his identity in the future if he would follow him. And as Nathanael follows Jesus, Jesus will show him heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man. Again, he has reference to Nathanael's knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. Nathanael would know Genesis 28 and the story of Jacob and how on his travels he decided to rest one night and took a stone as a pillow and went to sleep under the stars. And he had a dream. He had a dream of a stairway between heaven and earth. And he saw in the stream angels descending and ascending on the stairway. And on top of the stairway stood God. And God said to Jacob in the dream, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac." And after assuring him about the promises that he had made to Jacob and to Abraham, to his family, God said this to Jacob, "I will not leave you, said the Lord, until I have done what I have promised you." And so Jesus makes reference to this event for Nathanael, in that he is promising Nathanael, "If you follow me, you'll see greater things than this. And I promise you, I will be the one whom I've promised you I will be. You'll see greater things than just my knowing you intimately, Nathanael. You will see all the things I have promised to you and promised to be for you if you would follow me." Friends, the Christian life, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, is not only a one-moment experience. Yes, it begins at a moment, but after that there's a progressive uncovering, discovering Jesus to be whom he promises to be for us. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we get to see greater things than what has been revealed to us already. Through Philip's invitation, Nathanael found Jesus as Jesus found Nathanael. And so getting back to our question this evening, why the ATAP community? Why the ATAP Coffee Corner? Why do we put so much effort and resources into missions? Why do we have a youth program here? Why do we have young adult programs and ladies' programs and men's programs? Why are we urged to bring our friends and family to our services? Why do we try and make our services relevant to our day and age? Why do we speak to them about the good news of Jesus Christ? Why should we live differently in the world in which we live in, the places that God has called us to live? Well, because these are opportunities for us, just like Philip had, of inviting friends and family, work colleagues, to come and to see Jesus. Just like Philip had of inviting Nathanael to come and see Jesus for who he really was. When we invite our friends and family to come and see Jesus, in essence, what we're doing is inviting them to come and be found by Jesus. Evangelism, outreach, personal witnessing, everyday living is simply extending an invitation to those who do not know Jesus yet to come and to discover the Savior of the world, God's Messiah for us. Which, dear friends, leaves us asking ourselves two questions this evening. Are we inviting people to come and see Jesus? Are we inviting people to come and encounter Jesus? Are we inviting people to come and learn more about Jesus so that they might be found by Jesus? Are we using the opportunities given to us here at this church, in the workplace, at home, to invite people to come and personally encounter the King of Israel, the Son of God? Exposing our parents and our children to Jesus by being part of what's going on at the community center, or exposing them to Jesus by serving them a cup of coffee at the coffee corner, or enabling them to encounter Jesus at this What to Wear ladies event, or at our youth services, Sunday services. What about inviting people to encounter Jesus in our lives? Are we inviting friends and family to examine our lives for themselves, to find Jesus? I guess that leads logically on to the next question that we need to ask ourselves. That if we are going to invite people to come and see Jesus, will they find the truth of Jesus in us, in this church, in the coffee corner, in the ATAP Community Center? Will they find a people who are excited about who Jesus is for them? Will they find a people content and satisfied in God's grace through Jesus in their lives? Will they find a people enjoying the abundant life that Jesus gives to us, rising above the struggles and hardships that we face every day, praising God because of what we've received in Jesus? Will they find Jesus in our church meetings, as we welcome people and make them feel special and at home amongst us, even if we don't know them? Why? Because we know what it was like to be lost to God, be outside of God's family. Will they see Jesus in the way we worship? Will they see Jesus in the way we preach? Will they see Jesus in the way we treat one another, especially those who have wronged us? Will they see Jesus when we handle those who have wronged us and forgiven them? Will they see Jesus in our efforts to make him known and relevant in the workplace and at home wherever we might find ourselves. And when they do come and see, will they discover Jesus to be the one whom he claims to be for them? Friends, why do we do church in a relevant way? Why do we invest so much of our resources into our outreach center down there? Why do we put on outreach events like What to Wear and the Men for the Master events? Why does Jan encourage the young people today to come to young adults group or to youth, to bring their friends and family along? Why do we live for Jesus in the workplace? Why do we live for Jesus at home? Why do we support missions? Why do we pour resources into those who are sharing Jesus on the mission field? Because we as followers of Jesus want to extend an invitation to invite people to come and discover Jesus to be whom he claims to be. As I said earlier, it's not a hard thing to do to invite people. It's not daunting, is it? Inviting people to come and see the one whom has made such a difference in our lives. Do you know what? Generally, most people want to be invited to significant events. And I guarantee you, just like this was a significant event in Nathaniel's life, it'll be a significant event in their life if they discover Jesus to be whom he says he is. Jesus is not looking only for preachers, for missionaries, for ministry leaders. He's looking just for us to be available to him, to extend that invitation for people to come and see Jesus for whom he is and whom he has promised to be for us. Will you be an invitation to Jesus today? Will you be an invitation to your friends, to your family, inviting them to come and examine your life, to come and examine our church, to come and examine our community center, our youth? Come and examine in order to see Jesus and be found by him. Let's pray together.